Welcome to the Art of Appointment Setting podcast, where we ask today's most successful experts and entrepreneurs to share the most powerful lead generation and appointment setting tactics they use to build their business and grow their revenues. Now your host from the city that never sleeps, New York, is Kwesi Sachi-Jinai.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for joining the conversation. This is Kwesi Sachi-Jinai, and my guest today is Andrea Waltz. Andrea is a co-author of Go For No, with a subtitle, Yes is the Destination and No is How You Get There. It's by the way, one of my favorite books of all times because I learned a lot from the book. It teaches salespeople in any industry about how to overcome fear when it comes to failing, rejection, mindset. And I really, really loved it. Along with her husband, Andrea, they've been speaking all over the US and the UK, teaching the Go For No strategies. And right before we started this conversation, I was saying I was really amazed about how you guys have been on Amazon number one selling list and has remained in the top 20 categories of sales books over the past 8 years. It's really amazing. Andrea, thanks so much for joining the conversation today.
Thank you, Kwesi. It's great to be here with you.
Absolutely. So I know I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. It's really my favorite one of your books, Go For No. I came across it when I started my own journey in sales. And one of the things I feel makes it stand out is the style of writing. So it's a fictional story, so enjoyable to read. And also, it doesn't have a lot of fluff that you find in sales books these days. And although it's short, it's filled with so much practical ideas when it comes to handling rejection and so on. And I want us to delve into rejection and cold calling today. But before we do that, I know you've taught a lot of sales leaders, maybe thousands and thousands of them. And I can imagine that one of the main sort of thread or conversations that do come up a lot is the anxiety with cold calling. So I want you to speak to this, you know, before we get going. Why do you feel salespeople do have a lot of anxiety when it comes to cold calling?
Yeah, well, I think there's a few different reasons behind that. I mean, certainly there's a desire, I think, not to feel like you're the pushy, salesy salesperson. And when we're calling and interrupting people, when we are cold calling, we're doing exactly that. So it's really important before I guess I'm kind of jumping into the solution part, but really to kind of tap into your mission and why you're doing what you're doing. But there's a lot of anxiety around that. And then, of course, people don't like rejection. And there's so many nuances to that as well. People take it personally. It doesn't feel good. There's a lot of programming around it. They don't want to fail. And so there's all of this kind of general anxiety that goes around. And what happens is that it's kind of like the inactivity mm-hmm. and the desire to avoid the rejection makes it even worse, right? Because then mm-hmm. it's like you put it off and you put it off. And then finally, it's like you find yourself in the position where you are maybe behind in your sales goals and your quota. And you've got these unreasonable pressure to start cold calling. And so really it's like everything else in life. Consistency is so much better, but I think that's where a lot of the anxiety comes from.
Love it. Consistency is so much better. And I feel part of the anxiety, just like you mentioned also, is the sort of ridiculous pressure that we sometimes have with quotas and so on. And I want to put you on the spot. I know we probably didn't prep for this, but there's a whole lot of, I would say, fluff in the media regarding, you know, cold calling is dead, social selling is whatever that means, is the new cool, and so on and so forth. Personally, I think it's sort of misleading because I believe in multi-touch, multi-channel approaches to your pipeline. And oftentimes, a lot of people who write these stuff, whether it's on LinkedIn or whichever platform, are probably content writers. They're not really in the trenches when it comes mm-hmm. to sales. How would you respond to, you know, anyone who has read or heard any of his advice and has sort of tuned out when it comes to cold calling, especially for business owners or sales leaders in very small organizations?
Right. Well, I love the debate, and you're so right. It's so funny. I mean, and everything is so dramatic. It's cold calling is dead, you know, and it's not like, oh, cold calling is one of many ways that we reach out and try to find prospects. I mean, obviously, cold calling is not dead, not by a long shot, in my opinion. In fact, I think that these days, more than ever, because so many people are just using email, or they're using you know, other methods of reaching out to people. They're doing the social selling thing. They're using different social media platforms, LinkedIn, what have you, and they're not picking up the phone. I don't think a lot of decision makers are getting the volume of calls that they used to get. I think there's actually a lot of opportunity. Now, with that said, I think that there's the ineffective cold call strategy and there's the effective one. And obviously, if you're just, I mean, there are some businesses and industries and organizations out there that are just literally, I mean, fundraising, right? I mean, I get calls every now and then, and that is literally just cold calling, and it's everyone. It's everyone in the community, right? If it's the Orlando firefighters department and they're trying to raise money for whatever, they're just calling every citizen. And so it doesn't matter. But other organizations, I mean, if you have a qualified list of prospects, then absolutely you should be cold calling.
Yeah. And I love it because what I'm getting is you say it's an advantage because a lot of people are not getting a ton of cold calls like they used to. So it might be an opportunity for you to stand out.
I think it is an opportunity to stand out. And I think it's the perfect opportunity to, you know, in my experience, it's the perfect opportunity to gather information. Because I think so often, you know, there's all of this data being collected, right? I mean, all of this AI is going into and trying to collect all of this data. And yet nothing's more effective if you can get your prospect or a decision maker on the phone, not to make a decision. This is not about closing. This is just about gathering some information and asking one or two questions to further qualify and see where this person is. And now you can really start the process. Now you can start to customize your solution. Now you can start to maybe interact with the person on other channels. But just to kind of deepen that qualification, I think can save you so much time.
You made a really fascinating point, which actually leads me to the next question that I had for you. So that when you call, you're not, you know, trying to sell on the phone, you're just trying to gather information, trying to exchange value for a meeting, perhaps. So I want us to delve into some of the practical tips you have for handling, you know, cold calling. What kind of techniques do you recommend to people, especially when it comes to mindset, in order to make calls?
Well, I'm glad you said mindset, because really in what I do for people does come down to your programming and your mindset. And I think everybody has their own techniques of how they like to go about making calls, right? I look at it as trying to get one or two pieces of really good information. And if I can do that, it was a success. But before we get to that, your mindset really has to be one of I guess you'd call it a fail your way to success mindset, which is what Go for No really is. It's about getting out there, hearing the word no, increasing the number of no's you hear in order to increase the yeses. And I'm not talking about a one call close here, right? I mean, that can be challenging. I mean, I'm sure in some businesses it can be done, but at least gathering the information so that you can take the next step. Maybe it's appointment setting, whatever. But really what it comes down to is having that mindset of you're going to engage in the activities that you need to engage in this case, the calls, making the calls, and understand that the results will be what they are and that you really are all about activity. And it really comes down to having this failure mindset and embracing the idea that you're going to hear no along the path. You're going to get people who yell at you and slam the phone down. In fact, one of my favorite authors, Jeb Blunt, he talks about this in, in fanatical prospecting. And I mean, he is relentless when it comes to what people should be doing in terms of prospecting and cold calling. And so, really, I think that your mindset is understanding that failure is part of the process, and that the old programming, which is, I just have to be a success, I just want to get the yeses, I can't fail, I can't look bad, that actually is where the go for yes salesperson got their start. I mean, when you think about like the person that no one wants to be, the salesy salesperson, right? And that's the go for yes. I'm going to twist your arm. I'm going to make you stay on the phone with me for as long as I possibly can and talk your ear off until I drive you crazy. That's that go for yes salesy salesperson. And no is a perfectly acceptable answer. What's not acceptable is to not make the call, is to not let the customer or the prospect tell you no, and decide for them. You have to make that call. You have to let them tell you no, rather than really rejecting yourself. So embracing that mindset is so important. Yeah. And if I told you, hey, I want you to pick somebody out of your database, and I just want you to call them, but you have to get a yes. I mean, you have to get a yes. That's where the pressure and stress comes. If I said, hey, just pick some people out of your database, but don't worry about it. Just make the calls. And if you get a no, that's totally cool. Then the pressure releases. And actually, you're a better cold caller then. You're a much better prospector then.
I love it. And actually, one of the tactics I got from your book is, in the process of embracing this mindset, you actually need to celebrate when you get a no. So instead of actually, you know, the week making calls and say, hey, I got, you know, 10 people to say yes, why don't you celebrate getting a no instead?
Absolutely. And that's one of my favorite things to do, actually, is to celebrate the no's. And when you set a goal for getting a certain number of no's, then you can do that. So, I mean, we all do the typical goal setting of setting goals to get a yes, right? Or to get a certain dollar volume or get a certain number of appointments or whatever. And then we celebrate when we hit that yes goal. So we teach people to get no's and to set a no goal. And so if you set a no goal for, let's say you want 10 for this week, if you hit that goal, then you can celebrate that, because that really shows that you are in activity. And if you're talking to qualified prospects, then a lot of those seeds that you planted are going to come to fruition down the line.
I love it. I love it. And so our team, we currently do a lot of cold calling. And just like you mentioned, giving any quality of list, we expect that on the average, around 90% of them will say no. Mm-hmm. And although we do know this, hearing no is sometimes so hard. It's not natural. I'm yet to meet anyone who truly enjoys it, you know, day in and day out. but I want you to speak to this a little bit. So when you get rejection, how do you handle it? How do you make sure that you don't take the response personally, and you still kind of reignite yourself to move on with activity?
Well, I think for salespeople especially, you can oftentimes, as a salesperson, you place your value on your yeses and nos, right? And so the award-winning salesperson gets the award because of the yeses they got, of the sales they brought in. And so if you have just a bad day and you just got a lot of nos and you didn't close any sales, you didn't bring any business, you kind of feel like a loser salesperson. That's typically how we've all been taught and trained. And unfortunately, I mean, yeses pay the bill. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, hell, you can just hear no forever and you never need to get a yes. Obviously. And to kind of make that distinction too, just so I'm clear, obviously, if you're just getting no after no after no, then what happens is that is how we can figure out where the gaps are. And so here's what I mean by this. If you have a salesperson that doesn't make a high quantity of calls, and their quantity of calls are really low, oftentimes—
What is a high quantity for you?
Oh, for me? Gosh. Yeah. Well, I mean, I know of people who in different businesses who are calling and dialing 200 times a week. So, I mean, to me, that's kind of high. For me, it would be 20. So gotcha. In my business, but I, you know, kind of depends. A good friend of mine actually would work for a telemarketing company, and they were making 500 calls a month. I mean, it was crazy, right? So it really kind of depends. But I think if you have, so using 20 as an example, if you have a low quantity of calls and you're just getting no after no, the problem is you're not oftentimes able to coach through what the problem is because you don't have a high enough quantity to really determine where you're losing people. And that's really important, right? So a lot of times that can be coached through, meaning you can work on a particular type of approach. If you increase your quantity of calls and start to figure out, oh, this is what's happening. I have people's interest and then I say this, or then I do this, and then people are suddenly disinterested. So, or my script is just way too long and I'm losing people and they're hanging up. I mean, whatever it may be. So again, yes is the destination. No is how you get there. So that people don't think, what is she talking about? This seems crazy. And so I guess my whole point to this is if salespeople ultimately they do value and put value on themselves personally in terms of status of getting yeses, and no is kind of seen like, oh wow, okay, so you had a horrible day, that sucks for you, and you're not a great salesperson. The great salespeople get yeses. Well, the really great salespeople get yeses, but they also get a lot of no's because they also do a lot of activity, right? They're out there and they're making stuff happen. And the more activity they do, usually, the better they get because you just get so good at anticipating what the objections are and managing them. You get so good at your script that what was maybe at first unnatural just becomes second nature and totally natural. The more you do those things, the more skilled you get. The irony is you get a lot of rejections in the beginning, but then eventually you don't get as many rejections because you get so good. If you're having trouble, again, up your quantity and start really analyzing and being honest with yourself and saying, okay, where am I kind of messing up, and then tweak that.
I love the emphasis on activity because, I mean, we all know that activity is one of the main ways you can break out of the obscurity when it comes to people knowing your product and services. And this actually leads me to one of the final questions that I have for you. So I know a lot of salespeople do have sort of benchmarks on when to totally give up on a prospect. So someone, for example, has a 3-strike method. They call the person 3 times. They don't hear back. They just, you know, off. I'm moving on to the next person. I'm curious to know from you, what have you found to be sort of helpful in terms of deciding when to give up on a prospect? Or, you know, how do you draw the line between being super persistent and simply just wasting your time on someone who's not ready to buy?
Yeah, this is like such a classic question, isn't it? Because we all struggle with this. I know. It's when do you give up and when are you wasting your time? And there's no doubt that I've done it, and I know everybody else has done it, right? You have people in your pipeline and you know that you're just wasting your time and they're probably never going to say yes. And so what's the point? And and to me, my personal philosophy has always been, this goes back to the qualified lead. If they are qualified and they could use and need your product and service, and you know that, and maybe even they know that, but they're not willing to change or they're not willing to go with you for whatever reason, then the answer is you never give up on them, that they're in your pipeline forever. And I guess, you know, from a personal example, as a speaker, I mean, I market my training and speaking services, and there was one company, I mean, I really wanted to work with them, and they were just in my database, and I would call and follow up with emails and send a card every now and then. And literally it took 9 years. And people always laugh.
9 years.
Yeah, 9 years. And people always laugh when they hear that.
Oh my God.
But to me, it was just like, this is just a matter of time. And there's other companies which are now in the 12-year mark. I mean, they just have never hired us, but I know they're qualified and I know that it's just a matter of time. And so I'm just not taking them off the list unless something happens to me and I'm not in business anymore, or they go bankrupt, right? It's either one of those two things. So they stay on the list. And that's why it is important. I think if you can get and have that dialogue with that person and try to connect with them on a personal level and really find out, if it's a no for no, never. And if it is, and if you can get that information, then hallelujah, take them off your list. And that way you don't have to be under the, you know, the false assumption. To be honest with you, this company that took me 9 years, I didn't know. I mean, I could never speak to anyone hardly. So I was just leaving messages. I was just always kind of in the dark. And then finally they reached out to me after one of my emails, but I was unable to determine. So I said, well, they're in business. I'm in business. So they're staying on my list. If you can find out if it's a no for never, then you will save yourself a lot of time. And I think that's great.
This is so good. So you got to find out if it's a no, never, and then you cut it off. But if it's
and be okay with that. Yeah.
I love it. Love it. All right. I really want us to continue this conversation, but we out of time. I know I'm going to have you back again at some point. But you know, where can people learn more about your work, your training services, and get more of, you know, the content that you have to offer?
Well, we're well branded, so it's just go for now. It's go for now.
I'm so jealous you have that. It's so cool.
Well, thanks. So Go For Now on Instagram, Go For Now on Facebook. And on Facebook, I try to do daily motivation. So for people who, you know, need that extra motivation with the no spin, we call it motivation.
Awesome. And how can people contact you personally?
Through our website. Easy.
Okay.
Just go to our contact page. Yeah.
Gotcha. Awesome. Thanks so much for joining this conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Art of Appointment Setting podcast with Kwesi Sachi-Jinai. Find out more about how to get high-value appointments at catalyze.io. And while you're there, check out the free resources for appointment setting. And be listening for the next episode of the Art of Appointment Setting podcast.